And welcome into the 2 o'clock hour of UNR here on ESPN Central Texas. Craig Smokey Boy Q and Stephen Simcox producing. And we're now joined on the phone lines by Greg Tepper of Dave Campbell's Texas Football. And Greg, we do appreciate the time as always. Somehow or another, it's the final week of the regular season in high school football. I don't know how we got here this quickly, Greg, but here we are. And before we look ahead at what is a pretty big slate of games this weekend, I do want to ask about a result from last weekend. We all in this room were a part of the dual broadcast that we had for Midway and Temple. Midway gets the win there. I think Temple was pretty much everyone's favorite going in, but the Panthers take care of business once again, have a chance to win the district title against Belton this Friday. Your thoughts on that result, and also, Greg, what it leads into as far as Temple now likely looking at a showdown with Longview at Lobo Stadium in the first round.
Yeah, obviously this game was a huge win for Midway, and not necessarily, you know, you mentioned that Temple was the favorite, and I would agree with that. I would also say that, you know, it wouldn't have been a surprise, I would say, that if Midway had won that game. But the way that Midway won that game, the fact that Midway came out there and just landed basically three knockout punches right out of the gate, and was like, oh, okay, well, they're going to dominate this game, and they did. Really impressive stuff, and, you know, one of those games that I feel like is not even as close as the score indicates. I mean, Midway was the aggressor in that game, which was something that I certainly did not expect and was awful, awful impressive. You know, for this game now heading forward into this final week, you know, what that does is that it kind of makes the whole district a little bit, you know, there are districts that are clean where you got the district champion who's undefeated in district, and then you got the team that's with one loss, they're second place. Now everything's kind of thrown up in flux, and you're looking at a situation here where Temple taking on taking on Copperas Cove this week. Midway can win the district championship, but suddenly this game gets thrown into flux because Midway, having the head-to-head advantage, could be sending Temple to Longview to take on the defending state champs in the Lobos, and that is a bad matchup for pretty much anybody in the state, but would make for some very compelling football. I'm really interested in seeing how Midway comes out here. Is there any sort of hangover effect? Because, you know, look, Belton is a team that's playing for their playoff lives. They have to go out there and win and get some help to get into the playoffs. This is the type of game that down the stretch here, you get teams with different kinds of intensity. The intensity for Belton is extremely high. For Midway, oh, hey, you know what? We're looking good. Things are looking great. There could be a little bit of a let-up factor here. That's the only thing I'm watching in this one. But right now, I mean, the way that Midway's playing, if they come out there and play with that same intensity, they're going to be hard to beat by anybody.
I wanted to ask you about teams' approach that already have things wrapped up. Like a team near us, Conley, they're 9-0 on the season. They got their playoff spot. They got the district championship. They're treating this week, Coach Shane Anderson told me, they're treating this week like it's the first week of the playoffs. Is that what you're experiencing as well with teams that already have and are in the position that Conley is, that they're kind of treating this week as the first week of the playoffs?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that what you're seeing is that this is a big challenge, I think, for coaches this week, because there are a lot of teams that are quite honestly playing games that are fundamentally meaningless, right? They're playing games where they've got to go out there and you know, they play out the string and things like that. Connolly's a decent example of that, where, look, they've locked up everything they can. You know, Connolly is going to win the district championship. They've got the head-to-head win over Mejia, so even if things go crazy and they win in Mejia, or they lose and Mejia wins, then things are going, you know, fine. But there's nothing to play for here for Connolly, and so this is a huge challenge for high school football coaches to get their kids motivated, because the last thing you want to do is the last game before the games actually matter is lay an egg. That's the last thing you want to do. So this is a really interesting week because you're dealing with teams that are coming with different senses of urgency. You know, for Waco Connolly, there's not a ton of urgency. I just want to know how Shane Anderson can go in there and instill in his kids, listen, still a lot to play for. We want to go out there. We want to put our best foot forward and be playing our best ball starting next week, and that has to start this week. So I think that's a common approach, is to say, no, the playoffs start right now. I don't care if we're playing an 0-9 team. I don't care if we're playing a team that's out of the playoffs. We've got to go out there and take care of our business.
Greg, how about the job Kyle Shopik's done in year one at Bruce Folletti? They get a district title, and they win 9 games. One, did you kind of expect this sort of season for them? And then also, what kind of run do you think they can make in the playoffs?
You know, Bruce Valetti's been one of the great stories in the state, and you know, you mentioned it, winning that district championship, which has long eluded them, something like 39 years since they've been able to win one, win a district championship. Awful impressive stuff there for the Eagles, and especially with a first-year coach. You know, sometimes with coaches, there's a little bit of a, you know, you got to get used to the guy, the new voice in the room. That has not been the case with them. Look, they are getting, they're going to go in there, they're going to take on probably a team like Dillion in the first round. Dillion or Valley Mills. And neither of those are going to be walks in the park, but they will be favored in that one. And what's interesting, they're in that region, Region 2 of 2A Division 1, where there is one big, bad bully on the block, and it's San Saba. San Saba looks like, by far, far and away, the best team in that region. But besides them, it seems pretty wide open. And so if you are saying, or if you're a team like Bruce Valetti, you're saying, you know what, let's go out there and just play, make a run. Why not? You know, there's not this team that I think is far and away better than everybody else aside from San Saba. Now, when you run into the Armadillos, that's not going to be fun. That's not going to be a particular treat. But I will say that if you are Bruce Valetti, you're saying, you know what, we've come this far, we've surprised so many folks, why don't we just continue doing it? I like the Eagles, you know, to make a little bit of a run here and see, you know, through a region that, aside from that one team at the top, is pretty manageable.
Greg Tepper of Dave Campbell's Texas Football here with us on ESPN Central Texas. Greg, a big matchup down in the San Antonio area this weekend. Converse Judson and Schertz Clemens. What are your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, fantastic matchup down there in the San Antonio area. District championship on the line here. And the thing that's been impressive to me is that Converse Judson, we wonder what this offense is going to look like. We wondered how are things going to shape up. And the offense, the quarterback Mike Chandler, has been just sensational. Beyond that, they've got an outstanding running back in DeAnthony Franklin who has stepped up in a big way, giving them great balance. And you know that the Rockets are always going to play a fantastic defense. Remember, by the way, they're doing this with technically an interim coach in Rodney Williams. Rodney Williams is technically the interim coach there. Well, I would say that the time may be now to pull that interim tag off him. Going up into a Schertz Clemens team that is going to test them defensively. This Buffalo's defense has been fantastic all year long, and that's the key matchup for me. I want to see what this Clemens defense, which has been flying sideline to sideline and taking care of people, what they're able to do as far as neutralizing at least one part of this Rockets attack. Converse Judson can beat you in a lot of different ways. I want to see, can they make them one-dimensional? That's going to make this game really fun to watch. I think this is must-see action down there in the San Antonio area. Clemens gets them at home, which may be a bit of an advantage, but the winner gets the district crown, which I know means a lot down there. Maybe, you know, not a whole lot else on the line. You know, Schertz Clemens likely going to the Division II bracket. Judson definitely going to the Division I bracket, but this is a district championship, and in places like San Antonio, that certainly matters.
Some Thursday night action, DeSoto and Cedar Hill, Battle of the Beltline. How do you see this one shaking out?
Yeah, you know, look, every year you can just pull up the schedule and figure out when Cedar Hill and DeSoto are going to play and just say, okay, I'll be there. And so we get a nice Thursday night action in this one. You know, Cedar Hill, I think because they took a couple losses early, has been flying under people's radar. But this team has really come on of late. And I think that their defense is starting to play a lot better than they did a little bit earlier. I've been very impressed with what Cedar Hill's been able to put together. You know, on the other side for DeSoto, they were cruising along, and they were maybe looking like, boy, is this the year that DeSoto and Club Mass have been putting it all together? A couple weeks ago, they dropped that game to Mansfield Summit, which is a bit of a head-scratcher. I think that they're a little bit better than Mansfield Summit, but I do think that this is a DeSoto team that is dangerous. They've got a number of playmakers that are going to need to be bottled up in this game. This game, I think, tends to be pretty high-scoring. I tend to think that's going to be the case. I think that I lean a little bit towards Cedar Hill in this one. I think they're a little bit more battle-tested, and they've won bigger games and bigger moments. But, look, this game is one of those games where there's going to be a lot of fireworks. There's going to be big plays hit, and may come down to who has the ball last.
Greg Rogers has been blitzing pretty much everybody so far this season. They in their regular season with Clifton, a team fighting for playoff positioning. What do you think about that matchup?
Yeah, you know, Rogers is, I really think, flying under people's radar. And maybe it's because this was a team that we didn't necessarily have super high hopes for coming into the year, but they have been absolutely dominating people this year. And a big reason why has been on the defensive side. The defensive side has been absolutely sensational for Rogers, not to mention their offense is really humming. I really appreciate what they've been able to build there for the Eagles. Taking on Clifton, a team that again, struggled a little bit early. They've come on of late. They lost that game to Lexington. Lexington is a team that's gotten better. in the sense that Lexington, I believe, got a couple of kids back healthy that have made them a little bit more dangerous. So that's maybe not the kind of loss that it once was. But I'll tell you that right now the problem for Clifton has been their offense has been a little bit inconsistent. It's been a little bit hit and miss. They're going to need to play a very good game offensively to get past Rogers. I think Rogers is, you know, in that region, Region 2 of 3A Division 2, I think everybody just kind of looks at Gunner and says, well, Gunner, it's Gunner's team, the team to beat. Keep an eye on Rogers, man. I think they are very dangerous and a team that you don't want to run into right now. The way that they're playing ball, they feel like a team that's playing their best ball right now.
When we were at the Belton Lone Star 7-on-7 shootout tournament this summer, we've done that like 4 or 5 years in a row now. One of the coaches that we talked to was Vandegrift's Drew Sanders. He's got them at 9-0 right now, and obviously a big game coming up this weekend against Stony Point, who's 7-2. What are your thoughts on this matchup?
Well, Vandegrift is kind of the only sure thing in that district, and I'll tell you what I mean. So Vandegrift's been fantastic, and you mentioned it. Their team has been fantastic, and what's funny about them is they are not a team that scores a lot. They're really not. The offense is good. You know, they've got a couple of weapons, but the key for them, and has always been the key for Drew Sanders, is that defense. My goodness. And that defense, this is vintage Vipers defense. Jax McCauley, their linebacker, has been unreal this year and has been flying all over the place, leading a defense that is giving up fewer than basically 11 points per game in that district. Going up against a Stony Point team that can score, but I'm not sure exactly if they can stop anybody. I think Vandegrift is probably the favorite in this one, but it speaks to the wildness in District 13, where you have basically five teams still alive for three playoff spots. There is a real chance that you have a five-way tie for three playoff spots that are going to have to be sorted out by these coaches. It is a mess down there because I think you've got a lot of teams that are really evenly matched. You've got a lot of teams like Cedar Park Vista Ridge has a huge game against Round Rock. Round Rock Cedar Ridge has to take care of business against Round Rock Westwood, who has a chance to get there. And then you've got Stony Point taking on Vandegrift. This is a wild district that you want to talk about getting out your slide rule and trying to figure out exactly who's going to make the playoffs. You know, the brackets come out on Sunday at TexasFootball.com. Saturday night, Sunday morning, we'll have the brackets up on TexasFootball.com. There are some teams we know we can pencil in where they're going, and districts like 13, we're waiting until those games go final, and then we may have to do some math.
Friday night, big game, district title implications on the line. Mansfield, Timberview, Highland Park, how do you see this game shaking out?
You know, Highland Park is kind of the known commodity, right? And we know exactly what they're about. They got that big win last week over Lancaster to get the 400th win in the career, the outstanding career of Randy Allen. Now taking on this Mansfield Timberview team that I think is probably the quiet team in that district. I think there's people know about Lancaster. They know how good that team is. But Mansfield Timberview can score, man. They can go out there and they have the jets to turn it on. And they gave Lancaster a tough run earlier this year. They have been a problem for everybody that they play. That's going to be a really interesting matchup because what I want to see is how does the Highland Park defense contain the speed of Mansfield Timberview? They had to do it last week against Lancaster. Can they do it again this week against a very explosive Timberview team? Obviously, some seeding on the line. If Timberview were to pull off the upset, handing Highland Park their second home loss of the year, it would certainly be an upset. But I'll also tell you that would turn that whole district into craziness, where you could have Highland Park dropping as far as the third seed, which could mean them playing a team like the Colony or Frisco Independence in the first round. That would be really interesting. So, look, Highland Park's your favorite, understandably so. Chandler Morris has been pretty darn solid this year. But I want to see what that Highland Park defense does to counteract what's going to be an extremely fast Timberwolves squad.
Should be a fantastic final weekend of the regular season of Texas high school football. Greg, how much, just out of curiosity, you know, I know that under there's a lot of the playoff spots that are already locked in, district champs that are locked in, things like that, but with all of the moving parts, what's that like around the Dave Campbell's offices and trying to sort through all this with what, 1 weekend to go?
Stressful. We're trying to figure things out and get those matchups up, get those brackets up. We're on the phone with coaches a lot, trying to figure out tiebreakers and things like that. Because for those who don't know, there's not a universal tiebreaker. Every district decides what their tiebreaker is, which makes for some fun exercises, let's say. But you know what's really interesting about this week, and I always love week 11 because this is obviously the most important week. This is the biggest week of the year. It's huge. Everything comes down to this game. And on Sunday, nobody's talking about it. Not one person is interested in what happens in week 11 once those brackets come out. So it burns really hot and really fast, and then Sunday, it's playoff time.
Well, you can find him on Twitter at Tepper. You can also check out all things Texas high school football at texasfootball.com. And also check out Greg on Friday night, Fox Sports Southwest as well. Hey, man, as always, we do appreciate the time. Have a great week.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.